On election day in California, voters sided with ride-hailing companies like Uber and Lyft and other leaders in the gig economy on a referendum that essentially gives them immunity from California's controversial new law that would treat independent contractors for the companies as employees. In light of the development, we're going to revisit our conversation with State Senator Diane Savino, a Staten Island Democrat, who spoke with us earlier this year about a bill she introduced last year that would ensure benefits and labor protections to many New Yorkers treated as independent contractors. At the time we talked, Uber and Lyft drivers had just won a legal battle in federal court where the companies had argued their drivers are independent contractors, not entitled to employment benefits such as minimum wage, overtime, and unemployment insurance. A federal judge seemed to see things differently based on her ruling in a lawsuit brought against the state for the slow payment of unemployment benefits to ride-sharing drivers. We began our conversation from back in the summer with Senator Savino by discussing whether there was a larger significance to the federal ruling in New York beyond just ensuring Uber and Lyft hand over the relevant data to the state in order to ensure their drivers receive prompt unemployment benefits.
Well, there's no doubt that there's broader implications from this decision. And as you pointed out, I've been working on this issue for quite some time now. What is the gig economy? What does it mean? Who is the gig economy? In the past year or so, we've seen a lot of changes around this area. I introduced legislation. Of course, everyone, almost had a nervous breakdown in New York. But at the same time, California had actually gone one step further. They had their own decision first, the Dynamex decision, which drove the AB 5 legislation in California, which kind of threw a very wide net over many people who were working in the non-traditional employment environment that we now call the gig economy. And then there were so many people that sought to be carved out of it. There's still a lot of unsettled nature in California. We didn't have a lawsuit in New York. We didn't have a judicial decision. We do now. So what does this decision mean for the future of the gig work? Well, in some ways, it clarifies things and makes it easier to make the argument to some of these big, larger app companies that are where it's really clear, like the Ubers and the Lyfts, et cetera, that there is a clear employer-employee type relationship and that there should be some responsibility on the part of the app-based company to pay into those statutory protections that workers need, and that for the state, and that's the other thing, this decision spoke very clearly about the state's responsibility to see to it that those protections are upheld and workers receive the benefits that they're entitled to.
The governor initially proposed a task force in the budget to address overhauling the gig economy and creating regulations for independent contractors more broadly. That issue was dropped from budget negotiations, and when we spoke in late March, you anticipated the legislature might take actions in the ensuing months. Those ensuing months have passed. Why didn't anything happen?
When we last spoke, we were at the beginning, the end of the budget, the beginning of what we now know to be, the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think many of us were really not quite grasping what we were up against. Mm-hmm. There was this assumption that, we were going to lock down for a few weeks and get a handle on this crisis and things would go back to normal. Obviously, that was not what happened. And we're still, reeling from the effects of the pandemic and trying to figure out ways to see to it that we're able to operate as a legislative body and do things. And we're doing it. But this is one of those more complicated things that doesn't have immediate urgency for some people. But for others, if you're in this gig economy, and now in an environment where we have the highest unemployment rate probably since the Great Depression, it's extraordinarily urgent. And that's why I think it's important that this decision that was rendered by this federal judge about these workers be dealt with quickly. These are people who could receive unemployment benefits that they desperately need right away. And we can continue to figure out how do we solve this problem for other people who are similarly affected by the non-traditional, environment of this gig economy. There are some things that require legislation, though, David, and not everything does. So we know the state can force companies to pay into unemployment and make sure people have unemployment. We could do similar things with workers' compensation. We could enforce the issue of EEOC rules and making sure people are protected under the human rights laws so they're not discriminated against or harassed in their workplace, if their workplace is a car or, you know, delivering to somebody. But there are some things that absolutely need legislation, and I think that's something that we have to, you know, get back to working on, whether we do it in person or via Zoom. It's time for us to start, you know, concentrating on those things again.
Before the pandemic, we interviewed an upstate ride-sharing driver opposed to any changes that would demonstrably change his employment status. During the pandemic, we checked back in with him, and he then said that full-time drivers should be able to get unemployment and sick leave.
I bet he did.
Yeah. More broadly, though, do you think the pandemic has changed the framing of this debate and maybe changed the political calculus in Albany?
I think it absolutely changed the framing of the debate, and I'm glad you mentioned that rideshare driver, because before the pandemic, I heard from a lot of people who felt that, and look, it's no reflection on them. They really believed that they didn't need the traditional protection of the industrial manufacturing era. In a way, a lot of people feel that they don't when they go to work for a traditional employer and there's a union organizing drive. Everyone always thinks that they don't need something until they realize that they do. This pandemic has exposed just how vulnerable workers are in this economy, whether we're, you know, humming on all cylinders or we're slammed to, you know, on all brakes. It's just a reality. Most workers are one or two paychecks away from disaster. And when you're, you know, when you're left to your own, you know, devices or defenses, that's when you realize, oh, my God, I really do need those protections. And so the challenge for us now is to not overreact, but to create the appropriate structure, utilizing the state regulatory structure that we have in place now. We have two judicial decisions in New York now. We had one earlier this year on, I believe it was Postmates.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have this decision from a federal judge that spoke to Uber and Lyft. And in fact, we had a prior decision on Uber on an unemployment claim in New York State. So we can follow those using our regulatory structure, making sure people who are entitled to unemployment are able to get it, make sure people pay into it so that they can access it when they need it, make sure that we can do the same thing with workers' comp. But the one thing that we absolutely have to do, because all workers should have the same constitutional right, and that's the right to organize, and only that can be done through legislation. So, this crisis has exposed serious vulnerabilities for working people, some of whom didn't realize they had them. We can utilize the state's regulatory structure to fix some of them, but we do need legislation, and that's what I think we need to focus on now.
And when it comes to legislation and having a bill that maybe could get a vote, say, in January, what needs to happen behind the scenes in terms of crafting that? Do we need more public hearings, or is it just about, you know, you locking a bunch of people in a room together and hammering something out?
I there's nothing I love more than locking people in a room and hammering them out, but look, we'll do if hearings are necessary. I'm more than happy to do more hearings.
Do you think we need more hearings, though?
I'm not really sure if we need to do more hearings. I just think we need to get people to a place where they understand that something is going to happen. Up until now, everyone's been hanging their hat on, well, we're not going to do anything. We can't disrupt the innovation economy, and I'm sure there'll be some of that still. And we're not looking to disrupt it. We're looking to set some rules and parameters so that everyone has some protection, both the app-based companies and the people who derive their income on them. Oh, and by the way, you might want to protect the customers too.
Or else Diane Savino is going to lock you in a room. Unfortunately,
That's right.
though, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with State Senator Diane Savino, a Staten Island Democrat. Senator, thank you so much once again for making the time.
Well, always happy to be with you guys.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.